It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Record button didn't work. There we go. Okay. Here we are. Peter's donuts. Okay. I have the best story.
Well, I doubt that, but go ahead.
Well, okay. I win for the best story of what happened at lunch today.
Okay.
Other people, I win lunch.
Okay.
For today.
Okay.
My little adventure here. Unfortunately, it is a story in multiple parts, and each part is slightly less interesting than the previous part. And so I've been debating trying to do like a weird memento style thing, but I don't think it works.
Okay.
So, excuse me. I just have to kind of live with this. But, and this is what makes it really exciting, because I would start with this. Now, I'm going to say something, and it's going to trigger some concerns, but I want you to pay attention to what I am saying. Also, I am fine, and the car is fine.
Well, that's good.
Yes. A lot of people, when I said that, they're like, oh my God, well, I'm like, the point, I'm fine, the car's fine. Okay, so don't freak out.
Those are the most important bits.
Yes. So, I just want to say that to everybody listening. This is the biggest part. All right, so, today, Trish and I are working a bunch of extra time this week, so that because we got to leave at like 2 o'clock tomorrow to go to the airport. And so we managed to do it so we don't have to use any time off.
Sure.
To do that. So, today, among other days, having short lunch, not with Trish. So, I decided to go get some McDonald's and bring it back. Because I'm going to Disney World. They have really good food. So
they do have really good food.
To prepare, eat some really crappy food. Balance things out, you know. Get that out of my
system. That's White House quality food right there.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't want to talk about that anymore. I had some bad shit involving talking about that this week. Anyway. So this is where I'm headed. Sure. I'm headed up First Avenue. And there's a lot of people out. It's around lunchtime. I go a little early so I can get back, get a good parking space when I come back, but whatever. I'm going up First Ave, right about where First Ave Muscatine is, and sort of on a hill, and there's a stoplight, and there's a bunch of us stopping for the stoplight.
Sure.
And then I get rear-ended.
Oh, boy.
Hard.
Wow.
And immediately I am freaking the fuck out, because I'm having a panic attack. I'm just having flashbacks to the last time this happened, which was at midnight in Cedar Rapids in August, and resulted in months of repair work on the car and like $17,000 in damage to the car, messed up my back really bad.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who hit me just was screaming at me the whole time. And so like, yes, I'm having issues here.
Sure.
But I put the car in park. I turn on the hazards. I step outside. Lady's getting out of her car. She's looking freaked out too. And we were super, like, I'm like, I learned from last time I was like, I got out of the car. I'm like, are you okay? And he's me like, you motherfucker. But I'm like, it's still the right thing to do. So she's like, are you okay? She's like, yes, I'm okay. Are you okay? I was like, yeah. And she's like, I'm so sorry. My kid was screaming at me. Da, 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 da. So we head back to the thing. And she's like, I don't think it's too bad. We look. Nothing.
Really?
Like, my car is dirty because it's winter, you know, and you get the dirt on. There's not even a mark in the dirt of, like, impact.
Interesting.
But, I mean, but it hit. It was not as significant as the time I was hit at the airport, but like I've been in fender benders and this was much harder impact than that.
Sure, sure.
And I look at her car and there's a big dent in her license plate. I'm like, oh, well, dented your license plate. She's just, no, actually, that was there before.
Hmm.
There's nothing on her car. I'm like, holy shit, we got lucky. I don't really know how that worked.
Hmm.
But that's awesome. And I was like, we probably should exchange stuff anyway. And she's like, it's totally my fault. So I took a photo of her. She had her insurance information on the phone and I took a picture of it. But she said, she's like, are you sure you're okay? I was like, yeah, no, I feel fine. I think, I think I'm good. I'll let you know if there's something else, but I think we're okay. And she's like, okay. We shook hands. As we left, I said thank you, and as I'm walking back, I'm like, I don't know what I just thanked her. But it was the absolute opposite of the other experience. Like, it was really nice, and she's really good.
Yeah.
But wait, there's more.
No, I'm sure there is.
Mm-hmm. So, I get in the car, start off again, heading to McDonald's. And, you know, she was behind me, so unsurprisingly, she's going the same way. Heading further down First Ave, she's still behind me. And I turn on the mall drive there, because I'm going to one over by
Sycamore. Yeah.
She turns. Still behind. We get near the end of that. She hasn't turned. At a certain point, I'm like, I don't even think she... Like, she knows that I'm still in front of her. You know, like, you don't necessarily keep track of who... Like, I'm not even sure she would... Because she's not, like, looking like she's trying to make eye contact with me. She's driving. And so I go across the street, and I pull into McDonald's. And she pulls into McDonald's behind me. And I was just thinking, this is hilarious. And so they've got the two drive-through lines. And I go in the left, and she goes in the right. And the right was a little bit faster. And so she pulls up... just before I'm finishing my order, and I'm like, this is hilarious. And sure enough, I pull up, so I'm right behind her. And I was like, oh man, this is too good. And I'm cracking myself up. And I know she kept her window down, and I'm finally like, I can't resist. So I roll down my window, and I say, hey. And she looks out her window, and she sees me, and I said, I am fighting the urge so bad to just like tap your bumper just a little bit. And she grins, and she's like, yeah, payback, man. I get it. I get it, absolutely. And we laugh, and we close up our windows. But wait, there's more.
Hmm.
But as I promised, each one's a little less interesting. So she gets up and pays, and I get up, and I'm still... I realized the whole time, like, I'm still... My hands are still shaking.
Oh, sure,
the whole thing
yeah.
was still freaky. Yeah. And I'm messed up enough that I try to pay through my window. Like, I forgot it wasn't rolled down. Okay. Like, bonk. With it. But I and the cashier's there, and she's like, you had the blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yes, I did. And then she gets this big grin on her face. She's like, the lady in front of you paid for it,
oh,
so
man,
you don't have
what?
To. How's that? And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And I'm like, I'm not going to tell her the story or whatever. But I was like, you know what? This is the thing. Let's try and keep the streak going. I'd like to pay for the person behind me.
Sure, why not?
And she looks at me like she doesn't understand what I'm saying, which I'm just like... You literally just did this with someone.
Yeah.
But then she looks, she's like, okay, they had a large... And I'm like, I don't need to know
yeah, just
what they ordered. I'm just going to pay it. And so then I paid for it, and then I went on, and that's the end of the story there. And I went back to work, and it was fine. And I'm still fine. The car's fine. And I had Trish after work. I was like, take a look. Maybe I'm in. And she's like, no. And she keeps going, like, Was it like an, I think it was just the perfect angle that the bumpers all did what they're supposed to do.
That's right. Bumpers are designed to
and
do
I think
something.
It was just like the most clean hit.
Sure,
I mean, like, it was a thing, but there is not a mark. Like, not even the dirt was
like you
unsettled.
Say. Like you say, bumpers must have done their job.
And she was super nice about it. And like, yeah, it was a good... In the long term, this may help me process previous traumas.
Perhaps so.
Through this. Although at the moment, it's just got me... paranoid. I'm like, I'm going to wake up in the morning and my back's going to be thrown out, and it's going to screw up going to Disney. So I'm like, but I don't think that's the case. I really don't.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that refuses to be paid until the government shutdown stops and the government workers are paid again. Now, to be fair... We weren't paid before.
No.
Nobody's offering to pay us now.
No.
There's lots of podcasts that don't get paid, I'm sure, and won't get paid during this time. We are the only ones, as far as I know, that are specifically refusing.
Yep.
If you tried to pay us now, we would say no.
No.
Not until the shutdown.
Solidarity.
After that, however, if you want to pay us,
yeah.
go for it.
That'd be great.
Please. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 410.
That feels like it, I say this all the time, but it feels like it should be a significant number, but I don't feel like it is. But, you know, it is a significant number. 42.
Yeah, because you're going to be 42 on Monday, isn't that right?
And it's the answer to the question of life, the universe, and everything.
That's right.
I only just recently realized, for a year, I get to be the answer to the question of life, the universe, and everything.
I was thinking about that, actually, before I came over.
Yeah.
That very
of which
thing.
The question is, apparently, what do you get when you multiply 6 by 9, I believe, was what they found out in the books. I already got my birthday presents from Trish. My wife, love my wife. and heard me talking lately about how there's just so many books I'm wanting to read right now. Too many. Mm. I quit reading one series because I'm like, I need to read other stuff. So, of course, she got me like 4 books.
Mm. Like real book books?
Yes, or? Like real book books. They're actually kind of propping this up at the moment.
Oh, I see.
She got me...
And there's an orange or something. Tangerine? What is it? Some piece of fruit.
Oh, yeah, I think it's orange. So she got me this book, which is just weird. It's just pictures of this old lady and her heterochromic-eyed cat. And apparently the photographer just decided she was going to take pictures of her grandmother. And her grandmother has this cat with heterochromic eyes. And it's just a bunch of pictures of them, but it's very cool.
And what language am I looking
Japanese.
At? Japanese.
It's a Japanese book. Which is part of the thing. It reads backwards. And I always pronounce the name wrong here, but this is Ta-Nehisi Coates' Between the World and Me, which is something I've been wanting to read for a while.
Toni Morrison says it's required reading.
There you go. Toni Morrison says it.
National Book Award winner. I don't even know who Toni Morrison is.
There, like that. And this one, which I didn't know existed, but apparently is really good. It's a Marc Maron thing, and it's basically apparently just stories and advice and lessons culled from his podcast. Have you ever listened to his podcast?
No.
It's called WTF. It is kind of a big deal. I find it along similar lines to like when Conan O'Brien used to have this with his interview, and like people tend to open up to him for some reason, and he gets pretty big names. He had Obama on there while he was president, I believe. He had an amazing interview with Robin Williams that got replayed after he died. I know Tom Glass, who's this comedian who's been around forever, finally, not planning to do it, decided to come out as gay on his podcast. But there's some interesting stuff. I didn't know this existed. I'm kind of excited about that. And then, of course, this.
It's a little golden book featuring Grumpy Cat?
Yes, and in fact, it is 3 little golden books together.
Oh, boy.
Featuring Grumpy Cat.
Huh. The owners of Grumpy Cat are probably raking in the dough.
Yes. And I'm hoping they will go further with Grumpy Cat's brother, Pokey Cat, because I love Pokey Cat.
So are you going to write your name in there?
Oh, yeah, damn straight.
Boy, it's got everything.
Yeah, no, it's a little golden book.
Sure is. R is for rabbits. So, Grumpy Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Are you like a longtime fan of Grumpy Cat?
I don't know about long time. I mean, I came to the table pretty late.
Oh, really?
I would say I have been a big fan of Grumpy Cat for 3 years or so.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like Grumpy Cat's been a bigger deal longer than that.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, of course, but I think so.
I mean, I appreciate the curmudgeonly attitude in general. And... cats are adorable. I love cats. And a cat with resting bitch face to me is just hilarious as a concept. And, you know, it's just my current, like...
Do you ever wonder...
Obsession.
...what the cat is actually thinking or feeling in spite of how...
I think she's probably a very nice and sweet cat. And this is the thing, because there have been a lot of internet famous cats, basically.
Okay.
And quite a few of them, it has been discovered, like, you know, really did not treat their pet well at the expense of sort of selling out.
Oh, that's nice.
And the owners of Tartar Sauce, which is her actual name, are kind of held up. I mean, don't get me wrong. They have sold out like nobody's business. There's Grumpy Cat everything. But they have treated her well in the process. Yeah, there's 3 books in here. There's Grumpy Cat, the little Grumpy Cat that wouldn't. Grumpy Cat A is for awful. And Grumpy Cat Yawn. So quite excited about that too. So yeah, a lot of books. But actually, what I'm taking with me to Disney is going to be the N.K. Jemisin How Long Till Black Future Month, the short story collection, which I'm very excited about. Mm. And that collection of Ursula Le Guin essays that I had mentioned before. Mm. That one, I think, is best read in pieces. They are a bunch of just individual unrelated essays.
Sure.
So I think it's good to like read one or two and then ponder them for a day or so.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Because there's a lot there. I've read a couple and I'm like, a lot of stuff in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got... She tends to do this when we go to Disney World.
What's that?
Give me my birthday presents before my birthday.
Oh.
In case I want to take them, and also B, in case for some reason I am tempted to buy something that like is similar to what she was going to give me.
Sure, sure.
So, so she already gave those to me. So, I guess at this point I probably should explain how this show works. Though if you've lasted this long without knowing, you got problems.
Well, maybe they don't even care. Say,
you got problems. Anyway, here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks, not unlike yourselves, maybe a little better, I don't know, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its egomaniacal servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except for the part that isn't, which is most of it. Did my brother recently comment on the blog?
I think
on like a recent episode, but he just asked about what transmogrify meant.
Yeah, I think so.
That was weird to me. I was like, does that mean he actually listened to the episode? Or I mean, he has in the past. My family in general, every once in a while, they get a wild hair and they'll listen to an episode. Or if I tell them, like, this was on a topic you're interested in, they'll check it out. But yeah, that was strange. While I was in the trance where I say the explanation about the show, I had an idea I wanted to say.
Okay.
I forgot what it was.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Yep, unfortunately.
It was probably pretty cool. Whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
Probably pretty awesome. Oh, I remember.
Okay.
I think that's the trick to getting me to remember things I want to talk about, is you start to say something.
Right.
And then my brain is like, dude, do something! Quick! So I think I've mentioned before, I have a friend and coworker who has an issue with guys, the collective term.
Oh, yeah. I think you might have mentioned that the last time.
Yeah. And I love guys. I mean, normally that would be like a gay joke, but it's not, because I also do, whatever. Anyway, I love the term. But, you know, I understand why that would not be okay. And I work on it. And I'm working on it a lot. It's tough to come up with good alternatives, though. I've been using a lot of folks.
Yep, folks. That's a big
people.
One. Y'all.
Yeah, it's a little weird. And then recently, I had this idea based on an experience someone else had that involved a work thing, so I'm not sure I should ID them or give the specifics on it. But anyway, their experience inspired me for an idea. I think what I'm going to start doing for a while instead is just use gals all the time. Not unlike one would use guys.
I mean, why not?
And mostly I just want to see what the fuck happens.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to know what happens.
Because I feel like I like to think I don't tend to associate with too many people who would outright complain, but I definitely think I associate with some who would do sort of passive-aggressive, that's weird, or something like that. So,
well, to be fair, it is different. It is not.
Exactly, which is why that's fine.
It's not.
Like
it's
that.
Not conventional.
It is word. That is true.
But after you get over the fact that it's not conventional, your second thought, I would think, ought to be, but hey, people say guys like that, so what difference does it make? But I don't know if that will be the second thought for most people. That's interesting to ask that question.
I think it's fun. It's just, I can't get away from my anthropological obsession. I like doing things like this for this exact reason. And I was talking, I'm going to Walt Disney World. I know, I'm brag. It's going to be a lot colder there than you would expect. Sort of on par with last time when it was a little chilly. Still going to be warmer than hell compared to here.
Yeah.
You guys are fucked.
So, where will you be on the 21st?
I will be... for the morning, I will be at the resort, which is the Port Orleans River side or something. There's two different Port Orleans resorts, and there's the French Quarter one, and there's the River one, and I'm at the River one. And then the rest of that day, I will be at Animal Kingdom, which is my least favorite of the parks.
Will you, on your birthday, you're at the least favorite?
Because it includes, well, first of all, part of the plan for my birthday is that I don't have much going on before then, so I can sort of relax in the morning. And so it's good that the day I'm spending the least amount of time in the park is that park. But second, and most importantly, it has like my favorite restaurant anywhere.
Oh yeah.
And that's where we're going for dinner.
Where are you going to be that night? Because it's a full moon that night, actually.
Oh, isn't it the Super Blood Wolf Moon of Doom or
it's
whatever?
It's just a full moon.
No, but it's a thing, isn't it? It's one
maybe.
Of these exciting ones.
Maybe. But that's on
that
your birthday.
Night, I don't know where I'll be. In bed? I don't know.
The moon's probably going to... I haven't looked, but it's probably going to come up at...
I recently looked at the schedule for Saturday and Sunday, and that looks really fun. Saturday night, we're going to see a bunch of Star Wars stuff. There's a March/fireworks display thing at night in Hollywood Studios that's Star Wars thing. The March of the First Order and some stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, that should be neat. When I was talking about going to Disney and my sort of weird love-hate thing with it, I realized there's a huge cultural fascination with it because it is an absolutely manufactured culture. But it's also definitely a real culture. But it's also definitely... a split one where there's the facade and then there's what's behind the scenes, but the whole thing, it's fascinating. It's the Esperanto of societies, basically. They're like, we're going to create a little mini world and here's how everything is going to be. And unlike most amusement parks that can't fully immerse you like that, Disney can kind of pull it off.
They can.
Like, you're in this world and this is how everything works. And it's amazing and horrifying and really immersive and really fake all at the same time. And all subjective to who's viewing it and who's viewing them. And like I've said before, I just love watching people. Friday, when we're there, I basically have no plans. All the girls in the family are having sort of a girls' day. And so I can do whatever I want, which I'm like, by then, I may want a nap and just hang out in the hotel some. But I'll still have a park hopper pass, and I can go to any parks, and I might just, like, go to one and just, like, sort of hang out and watch people for hours.
Sure.
And that could be fun.
Sure.
We'll have to see. But, yeah, nowadays I'm very hyper-aware of that. Like, I just love... It's a little bit like people, like, I love how people think, and mine's just a little... I love how people interact and what that means and all that.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
No, you're a sociologist. You don't get it. It's different for you.
That's not true.
We're all just marbles in your little maze.
I'm not that kind of sociologist.
You're not a marble sociologist?
Nope. I am not a marble sociologist.
I've known very few marble sociologists. Oh my god, I forgot to tell you about the cool thing ever.
Okay.
Zinky Donk.
What?
Zinky Donk.
What's that?
Well, I'll explain to you.
Okay.
So, you don't read Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal, the webcomic, do you?
No.
I think I've occasionally sent you ones from it.
Yeah, I think you have.
It is, in my opinion, the heir and successor now to XKCD, because I think XKCD is so deep down in its own navel-gazing that I can't even cope. I still read it, but I am way less impressed by it on a regular basis. But Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal, I'm really kind of in love with. Even down to the simple ones they had a couple days ago, which was just two people in a panel and one saying, I don't think we should make straw man arguments anymore. And the other guy said, oh, I guess we just can't make any arguments anymore. And I like that. But there's a reoccurring thing that the author and artist Matt Weiner likes to do, which I mean, because he has they're all independent, but he has certain sometimes he has things that he likes to do over and over again, and one that he does is he has these two children that just go on these walks through these hills having remarkably deep philosophical conversations about things, and so he has one the other day like this, and first kid says, do you ever think video games could really be art? And the second one says, well, let me pose this to you. Do you ever think video games could ever really be Zinky Doink? And the first one goes, what the heck is Zinky Doink? The second one says, it's a general, abstract concept that's very subjective and in the proper context could be used to pretty much mean anything. And the second one goes, okay, I get it. And then the last panel, he's like, God, you're so obtuse. And the second kid goes, yes, but am I Zinky Doink? And I love this, and I intend to use this a lot in the future to describe many things that are held up as though they are
some objective quantifiable measure.
Things yep. And are not. And it's funny because I was talking with Trish about this, and we're sitting around, and immediately I said something like, such and such is absolutely Zinky Doink, just as a one-off little joke. I don't remember what it was. And she's like, I disagree. It's not Zinky Doink at all. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? How can you not see that? And we start doing this fake thing, and it's kind of fun. And then Trish is like, it's like porn, okay? I can't define Zinky Doink, but I know it when I see it. And then I was like, oh, now I'm sad. I think we may already have ruined Zinky Doink. Also, Trish and I workshopped a racist joke until we had workshopped the racism out of it.
Wow.
Yeah, we were pretty pleased. And then later I told my boss about it, and then she and I managed to workshop the humor out of it.
Oh, that sounds like that was probably easier.
No, that one was a little complicated.
Oh, okay.
No, there's a joke. I'm gonna give you the non-racist version for this.
Okay.
So a young child, let's say a young girl named Ellen, goes home one day to her parent, let's say a dad, just for fun.
Okay.
Goes home to her dad from school and says, Dad, today the teacher asked a question, and I was the only kid in class who could answer. And Dad was like, cool, and was excited, because Ellen had not been doing too well. There had been some worry that Ellen was not necessarily too bright or things. Like, this is wonderful. What was the question? And Ellen proudly said, who farted? And I think this is a good joke. I like this
That's
joke.
That's pretty good, yeah.
But the original version I heard, which admittedly I think was an old recording when this would have been perfectly fine, was for no reason, just... So a Polish kid goes home and says to his mom,
yeah,
and then the rest of the joke. And I'm like, why? Like, I understand people make fun of the Polish. That was the thing to do when I was in school. But I'm like, in this context...
Well, it's because it was the same as like a blonde. A blonde.
I guess, sort of.
And you're supposed to be stupid, so you're set up to think this is a stupid person.
But it's also just a kid. I mean, kids are dumb. So, you know, it's fine. And so my original version of it was just to say, so a child of some sort of demographic that you stereotypically find to be inferior goes home to their mom. And then Trish is like, no, we do. And eventually we figured out, no, we just do it that it's just a normal kid. And then, but the parent had been concerned the kid wasn't as smart, so it's very exciting.
School.
And then, so I told this to my boss, and she starts to get, when I was a boy named Albert and his mom, And so she's on. She's like, Albert, though, what is that about? And why does it have to be a boy? You know. And first of all, I was like, okay, if you find something racist about Albert, that is on you. I'm not even sure what that is, but that is your problem. And I was like, and I didn't say we got the sexism out of it, just the racism. And so then we started playing around with this thing where we're like, a child X went home to its parent. A
child named Pat.
Child X told its parent. We had to really get into it. It's like, parent was extremely pleased because due to previous standardized testing and other objective
measures.
Yes. Basic educational functions, there had been some concern that child was operating at a less than ideal and this whole thing. And then by the end, I'm like, yeah, no, we just workshopped the humor out of it. So that was fun. How was your week? Now that the episode's half over. All you did was play Red Dead Redemption and eat gingerbread anyway, so.
No, I didn't have any gingerbread.
Somebody said something about gingerbread on the blog, I think.
Jazz said that she had happened to watch one of those British cooking shows you were talking about.
The Great British Bake Off, people. I know Americans, we call it the Great British Cooking Show. It's dumb. It's not its name. I don't know why we changed it. It's not like the term Bake Off is confusing. It's called anyway, Great British Bake Off.
They happened to talk about the history of gingerbread, and one of the things they mentioned was that you talked about how gingerbread was a Christmas kind of seasonal thing, and she was saying that gingerbread people used to be exchanged for Valentine's Day.
Well, and that makes sense because originally Valentine's Day was a very Christmassy themed thing.
What are you talking about? Christmassy themed thing.
Thought I could get you for a second. This is like when we were babysitting, and I told the 8-year-old one day when I came over in the morning, I was like, I just realized something. You are the exact same age that I was when I was 8.
Did it get him?
Just for the briefest of seconds. Because he's met me.
Yeah.
So anytime I'm saying things, he's kind of prepped.
Yeah.
But just for a second, he's like, wait, what?
Yeah, Red Dead Redemption, and I don't know. We've watched a few things, but I don't know if it's anything worth talking about. It seems like there were couple of things I was sort of interested in discussing, but like you say, it's kind of
he's looking around the room as though he's going to find them, by the way.
No. Do you want to talk about your week, or do you want to talk more about your plans? Because that's kind of interesting to know what kind of stuff you're going to do. Although we have talked a little bit about it already.
Yeah, I don't know. There's too much to tell so far. I'm a little concerned tomorrow night we're not going to get a lot of sleep because we land in Orlando at like 11 or 12 at night. And the good news is we don't have anything really in the morning the next day, but we have to meet the family for lunch at 11 in one of the parks. And this is the meal where like the whole family will be together. And it seems like that's plenty of time, but you get to Orlando, you navigate that airport, and then you get to the Starlight Express or whatever it's called, the thing that takes you to all the Disney places. And you have to go through the line and process everything, and then you get on the buses and they drive, which is not a short drive, to all these, and then you get dropped off at different ones whatever time, and then you get in and you check in. And a lot of people are with you because the whole thing is Orlando Airport, so much of the traffic there is just people going to Disney. And then you get to the room, which can take a while because it's a pretty large, this is the resort we always stay at, and so it's pretty big. It can be kind of walk to the thing. Then we get there, finally go to sleep. And then in the morning, have to get ready, get dressed, all that stuff, and then go to the bus stop to get taken to the park, to get into the park, to then go find the place where we're having lunch. Like, this is a lot. I'm not saying we will sleep none, but it could be as little as 6 or 7 hours,
which for
me is kind of light.
Sure.
So that makes me a little nervous. But, you know, we'll deal. Anyway. What was I saying? Oh, my week. I want to talk a little bit about my week.
Oh, okay.
Two things I saw. One was we finally watched the Christmas episode of Sabrina.
Oh, okay.
It was dumb. But for some reason, I think it's one of my favorites so far. And I'm not 100% sure why, because it was dumb. Had a lot of dumb things in it. I think some of it was it had less than most of the episodes to do with the overarching plots, which are really dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of nice. I also think Aunt Zelda is going in a direction that I'm actually enjoying, since she has become my POV character because everyone else in the show sucks. Sabrina is just the worst. And continues to be just the worst. Ambrose is still hot. I like Ambrose. But yeah, it was fun, and the Yule Lads was fun and all that jazz. Although that's not what the Yule Lads are. The Yule Lads are a real thing, and they're nothing like that. Well, they're a little bit like that, but they're mostly not like that. They're not children. They're not like all sorts of things. Anyway. And then we also ended up watching Ellen DeGeneres' recent comedy special on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've been kind of excited about, because I don't know if I mentioned this before. When Ellen was just a stand-up, I was not fond of her stand-up.
Oh, okay.
Like, I wasn't offended or anything. I just wasn't that into it.
Sure.
In recent years, especially now we have a car, it has Sirius FM radio, and I listen to a lot of stand-up on there. They play some of her old stand-up. Now I really like it.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure what the difference is now, but now I really enjoy it. So when I heard she was doing new stuff, I was kind of intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you guys, have you guys watched it?
No.
Okay. You, see, when you say yep like that, it totally could be a, yeah, we found it that way too, or yeah, I understand what you're saying.
It was more of a, tricky to tell. Yeah, really?
Yeah. Yes,
that
it was.
That was more, yeah, there.
I will say this, and I had read a review on it, and they said, she says the F word at one point, which was weird, but also kind of cool, because it's Ellen, and it's sort of that, you know, cracking through that demeanor thing, because she's not, like, purposely just, like, supposed to be pure,
right,
you know,
right,
clean.
Right.
Like, that's just how she talks, and she does. But it's funny, because so I was, like, anticipating that. And it's in a place that it really, it felt completely forced into that place unless the joke was that she said that, and that didn't seem to be how it went off. So, I mean, it was a good joke, but that felt weird to me, where it was just shoved into a thing that I'm like, I can absolutely picture her doing that same joke without that word, and it's exactly the same. So that was odd. But no, in general, it's very fun. She does a really good, well, I mean, it's called Relatable because that's the whole thing, is she's, you know, she's really wealthy now and she has her own show and everything. So is she still relatable? And, and so the whole thing is very much peppered with quite relatable, interesting stories. Then occasionally she tosses in bits like something where she's talking about the plane and difficulties on the plane. She's like, I'm kidding. I've never even been back past first class. I've heard about coach. It's like they're just cages and like animals hanging down. I have no idea what that's like. Those kind of things. And that was fun. And she's still just her. But no, it was funny, and it was, and I think this is the thing I've been realizing when I go back and I listen to old stuff now. There is a decent similarity between her old stand up and Seinfeld's old stand up. But hers is nicer to me. Like, her, they both make me laugh. Hers makes me smile at the same time. Seinfeld's is either really dispassionate or in some cases just kind of mean in a way that I'm not opposed to. I mean, Seinfeld still was, I was going to say and is, but no, was funny. It's super not funny enough. But yeah, I hers is a version I like better, and this is still in that vein. And it was good. I liked it a lot. I recommend it. It's only like 70 minutes long or whatever. It's just on Netflix, so
yeah,
I would recommend checking that out. Yeah, if you go to Disney World, well, if you go to Disney World with my family, the entire thing is based around all your reservations and your fast passes, and you plan it out months beforehand.
Sure.
So you can maximize the thing. And this time we also have reminders on there because we have the app. I'm looking at the app, and there are things that you go to that, like, you want to go to, but they're not a thing you have to go inside. They're just like a thing you want to spectate, and it's out in the open.
Oh.
Like the Jedi training. Sure. I talked about that before. Sure. Definitely want to go back to that. And there's sort of a timing thing. So now we have a reminder on there. Reminder, Jedi trains happen at this time. Like, you wanted to go. So we've got some of those. But yeah, it Saturday is Hollywood Studios, which is where all the Star Wars stuff is and the Muppets stuff.
Yep.
And the new Toy Story stuff, which I do not care about. And then Sunday is a Magic Kingdom day, and I'm doing a bunch of like roller coasters and stuff this year, so I'm excited about that.
Cool.
And we're gonna have for the number of days we have there, there's only four parks, so we're gonna have 2 days at Epcot and 2 days at Magic Kingdom, and then the other days are weird. And then yeah, Monday is gonna be Animal Kingdom, which will be fine because there's cool stuff in the Animal Kingdom, including the Pandora stuff is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And the Lion King show for weird reason. Like, I never saw the Lion King movie. I know the story of it. I am not ever interested in seeing the Lion King movie. But the Lion King show was kind of fun. And it's not like the stage play. It's its own thing. And like, these people get together and they just do a lot of musical numbers. And like, it's a black box theater type thing. So there's audiences on all sides. Mm. And like, you break up into teams and you're supposed to represent different animals. And stuff. And it's just fun. And there's tumblers and things. And it's fun. And then we're going to the African buffet restaurant that I like there a lot. So that'll be good. And then, yeah, I don't remember what's happening after that. But things, once again, because we're going at essentially the exact same time, it's Epcot's Arts Festival.
Oh.
Which means there are people there doing special kind of art things, and people there making special food things, and art masterpieces with the people taken out of them that then you go into and pose for pictures. So that'll be fun. And this year I'm going to have my proper magic band, which has Rey from Star Wars on it.
Oh.
Excited about that.
Nice.
Yes. It all sounds boring when I tell you, it doesn't sound boring to me. It sounds boring to tell.
Sounds interesting.
If I was other people listening to me right now. But to be honest, that's how I feel about the whole podcast. I don't know why you guys listen. But it'll be more. You will get pictures. Oh, we should talk about that.
Yeah.
So I guess I haven't told you before, but that wasn't spam. That really was me with the Disney updates talking about the pictures going to happen on your phone. Have you not looked at your phone in like a couple days?
No, I didn't. I didn't get anything like that, I don't think.
You should have.
Oh, do you think... I mean, did you text it to me?
Yes.
Oh.
Text, not email, yes.
I'll have to look. Yeah. It's, I mean, because I've been getting a lot of texts from my family recently at my... well, there's just a lot of stuff going on. So I might have just missed it. So I'll have to check.
Because, so here's the thing. I'm like, you know, normally I take pictures. I'm very bad about taking pictures, but I remember sometimes. And then I just have, and I take like 20 of the same thing because I know one will come out good. And then later I kind of have to curate that after I'm done with the trip. And then I sort of show people when I get a chance.
Right.
It's not a very good system. And so I was like, you know, you can do like group texts and stuff. What if I like make a group beforehand? And I will take pictures on the fly as the mood strikes me.
That's cool.
So I did. And you can actually create group. Like, it's not just I just, like, picked people and sent a text. Like, you can create a group. So I created a group. I called it Disney Updates. And I put a bunch of people on there, including you. And actually, I put you twice for some reason. Later, I took one of you off. And I sent this thing, and I said, hey. So I made this group because I'm going to be in Disney next week. Mm-hmm. And I want to send you all pictures. Two things. One, maybe don't reply to this whole group with anything because it's pretty big. And two, if you want to be off this list, no hard feelings, just text me privately and I'll take you off.
Oh.
Because I'm like, I don't know if people want to or not. Don't hear anything. This was yesterday around lunchtime. And then around 2:30, 3 o'clock, my niece types in the group thing, cancel. Now, you're thinking what I thought, which is she got jokes. This is pretty fucking funny, but also fuck her, but it's pretty funny. But so my response is to privately text her and say, what part of privately text me if you want out do you not get? And she responds with, wait, that was you? And she shows me a screenshot of this, and it doesn't have my name, even though my name's in her phone, but it does have my number. And she just thought it was spam.
No.
She absolutely thought it was spam.
I think I did get that.
Did you delete it?
I probably did. Well, no, the thing is I get spam, though.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
And if I don't see, because your number's in my phone.
Yep.
So.
Well, it gets weirder. So, after that happens, I go back and I say, in case this happened to anyone else, this is Tony. If it didn't say my number and I really am doing this. And then my brother texts me privately and says, so wait, you're texting me from a different number? And I said, no, it's the same number. And he shows me screenshots. His is coming up as a different number. And so then I text the group again and I'm like, I swear this is Tony. Text me privately if you want confirmation. Finally, my brother emails me and is like, I just want to confirm. I'm getting text from you from now. And I'm like, no, it's not a different number. I mean, I saw that it is for you, but it's really not. This is a real thing. I'm just going to send. But it sounds like for a bunch of other people, it just came up as normal.
Oh, so really?
I know, because a bunch of other people didn't say anything. And later, like, I saw some of them. I'm like, this really is me. They're like, we knew. It's fine. And some of them also just made the assumption they knew I was going to Disney soon. So they just were like, this clearly must be him.
I mean, I get spam texts all the time. And the only way I know the difference is, well, if I don't see the person there, because everyone who I've given my number to, I've got their name or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just, as a habit, just delete it. I probably blocked it too, because I didn't get anything else but that first one.
If you blocked my number, dude.
Would I have blocked your actual number?
I don't know. Let's find out. Oh, where's your phone?
It's in the car.
Oh, okay.
I don't bring it in here. I don't want to get interrupted with a phone call or something. I'll have to look. Because I only got one thing. I assume this thing that I'm remembering was from you, because it was a different spam than I usually get, but it wasn't anything I recognized, so I deleted it, and I might have blocked it.
We'll find out. I just sent you hello with 3 L's, so I'll see you later if you got it.
Okay.
Then
I'll have to unblock it.
Also, the fun thing, so you guys are getting a huge winter storm here.
Yeah.
And it's starting... just a little before we're supposed to leave. So, we're a little worried about that. Because we want to get the fuck out of here. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, so that brilliant idea I have turned out to be the worst plan I ever had.
I want to see pictures.
I get texts that aren't spam, but aren't from recognizable numbers. In a few different ways, because, like, my stylist sends an automated text reminding me of an appointment and just comes. I finally put them in here so it has a name. But then, like, I think my eye doctor has an automated thing that reminds me of things. And then occasionally, like, Verizon sends a thing saying, hey, you've got this much data left or whatever. So I have this, and actually I've had a couple of things where, like, I made online reservations and it automatically sent a thing. So I actually have to read them. And the spam ones I get are really obvious spam when I read it. So what I'm saying is I'm better than you at text.
Well, there's... who isn't?
My parents. My parents are not better than you at text.
I don't know about that.
They have never texted in their life and sort of proudly never intend to.
Well, that doesn't count if they've never done it.
All right. My sister has done it. I think she's probably worse than me. We are surprisingly, I have talked about absolutely nothing for quite a while tonight, so, but I was in a car accident, so y'all have to be nice to me.
Yeah, that's right.
All
right,
so we should draw a thing
okay.
Before we run out of time. That's like my new catchphrase on this podcast, is we should draw something out of the hat before we run out of time. What? Already covered, Zoinky Dink. Also, it's Zinky Doink. Zoinky Dink is a totally different thing. He feels really bad about this one, guys. He drew it out of the thing, and he seems kind of morose.
Are you done talking to the producer?
I don't know. Let's see if she yells again.
Okay, this is from Beth.
From Beth.
You hired a contractor and paid X up front. Well, that's your first mistake right there. Anyway, they quit without finishing that work. What would you do? How much would you need to be owed to pursue legal action?
That's a tough one.
Okay, so you paid for something to get done, and they didn't finish. They didn't do the work they said they were going to do, but they already have your money.
Yeah. I mean, there are things you can do depending on the contractor besides suing them. First off, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, and I've never had this experience. So let's start with that. But as I understand it, there are things you can do, at least, well, I mean, obviously you can send them communication and be like, what the hell? You also can talk to Better Business Bureau, local chamber of commerce, things like that. But yeah, ultimately it may have to decide if it's worth pursuing, like in small claims court or whatever. That is a tough one.
I mean, I don't. So this
I think you'd have to be pretty close to $1,000 at least for me to even think about it. Otherwise I'd be pissed, but I'd probably just be pissed. And I mean, and I'd take a little bit of effort to make sure other people knew these people suck. But
they did do part of the work.
Paid up front and they quit without finishing
the
work.
So they did part of it. So you might feel like you said, let's say you paid them $1,000, but you feel like they did half of it. So you feel like you're owed back half of it, I guess. Or, I mean, if you paid them and they did nothing, I imagine it wouldn't even matter how much it was. You'd want it all back.
Well, and it also depends on how the something worked. With a contracting job, you definitely could have something where they did something, and it's now much worse than if they'd done nothing.
Sure, that's right.
And like we hired a contractor, and they weren't great in a few ways, and there's things they did that I'm not happy about, and if you know. I felt I could just do it. I would be like, you either owe us this much money back or you come and you do these things properly. But we didn't do anything. We're just like, no, we're never using that contractor again. Mm. And we tell our friends, don't use that contractor.
Sure.
But there's definitely a point where it's like, no, I want that money back. Or if it's so egregious that you're just like, I want vengeance.
Well,
like something they need to suffer consequences for this.
As you said, sometimes you're in a worse situation than when they started. Sometimes whoever you get to finish the job actually has to do it all over or some crazy thing.
Yeah. Sometimes they knock out a wall leading right into your pool room and it's wintertime and you're out on vacation for a week. So any of your cats could have just fallen in the pool and drowned to death with you not here.
That seems oddly specific.
Yes, it does.
Someone took a wall out?
Yeah, it was in the bathroom when we had to clean. So we had to demolish that whole wall and replace it because it was all molded through. And
oh,
shit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, because before it was just wood and had a freaking window in it. And so over the years, that rotted through.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm really bad with house stuff.
And I mean,
like knowing what
ultimately there's also, can you afford to let it go?
Yeah, like you need that money back, especially if you're going to have to hire someone else to fix the problem.
There are places online where you can inquire, not in any official capacity, of course, but you can inquire with people who have some legal knowledge.
Yeah,
what is appropriate in this kind of situation, based on. I mean, I'm just going to say popular culture. I get the sense that this exact kind of thing with a contractor bailing and stuff like that is far too common and very hard to do anything about.
Yeah.
Other than try and spread the word so no one else will
right.
be stuck under that. You know, fuck them up on Yelp. But I don't know.
Does that work? It's do people really use Yelp that much?
I used Yelp exactly once to find an eye doctor.
Yeah.
And the way I used Yelp was I found an eye doctor that was list, mentioned the least on there. Not because everything is bad, but for the most part, people are more inclined to go and complain than they are to go and say, oh, this was wonderful. Mm. And so I figured the one nobody was talking about was probably the one that was good. And it was. And it is. Jensen Eye Clinic, if you're in the Iowa City area, highly recommend it. I go see Dr. Becky. I recommend her.
Well, that's cool.
Yes. However, this contractor, this hypothetical contractor that Beth worked with, fuck them. If you want to put on the blog who they were, Beth, feel free. And then none of us in, I want to say, the D.C. area where you are, will hire them.
My wife's really good at knowing, like, when someone needs to be hired, who to hire. They usually do a good job because she's so good at figuring out who should do it. But if they don't, she seems to always know what she should do, who she should talk to. And she's really persistent.
Yeah. I mean, because that's the thing. You can make their lives difficult enough.
Yeah, I've
often thought about, like, what if you go and, like, literally picket in front of their, I mean, it's a contractor, so maybe they don't have an office, but, like, their house. Literally just do that for a while. It would be annoying, but at a certain point they'd be like, okay, well, give me your fucking money.
I don't know how she does it. Like, I mean, for me, I'm giving up before I even get started, and she'll just go and go and go and go. And aren't you frustrated or bored or something with this process by now?
Oh, William. Nope. She's a woman.
Don't do that.
She has lived through shit you can't even imagine.
I understand
that. In her day-to-day background noise. This ain't nothing.
I understand that, but that's just... It's amazing how persistent she is.
Contractors are much less painful than childbirth. Or so I have read.
So you have read. Okay.
Or so I have read. Man, we didn't even get a chance to talk about the Gillette commercial.
Well, no, that's true. We didn't.
I want to hit some big points here. I'm not saying Gillette is awesome. Although the fact that there has been backlash and they're still sticking to their guns, being like, sorry, but this is important, is cool. The commercial is awesome. The message the commercial is preaching is awesome. The backlash, while not unexpected, is somehow still a little surprising. Not because I didn't know those people are out there, but there's such a willful misunderstanding of the commercial.
And misrepresentation.
Yes.
Yeah.
That...
But I mean...
It's...
Isn't it mostly internet? I mean, the internet responds to everything. I mean, why should we care that
it's hard to say.
That there's an internet response. There's an internet response to everything. Why do we care so much about that?
A lot of people live on the internet. And this is important because who's the fucker... Some state lawmaker recently... said, I forget what the case was, but basically said that people have the option of not using the internet. It was something where people, a basic needs kind of thing. It's like, people can choose not to. And when, like, everybody freaked out and later somebody wanted him to qualify a statement, he's like, yeah, people can choose not to. Like, yeah. At this point, they also, it's like saying they can choose not to use electric light.
Or have a car.
Yeah. Like, you're... Right in the most technical of senses, but
well, the one thing about the backlash that I mean that you have to acknowledge and allow is it's not just the internet. There are people on the United States political right who are complaining about it.
Oh yeah.
For no reason. I don't even understand. Now, I've seen some libertarian sources that are baffled by some of their right-wing colleagues' response because they don't think there's anything wrong with the commercial. But some have a real problem with it, and I don't understand why.
I love the one that talks about, well, boys will be boys, founded the country and put a man on the moon and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, first of all,
what?
Just because those things happened while those other things were happening doesn't mean they're together. And also, are you saying that if we hadn't been so lax in paying attention to sexual assault and bullying that somehow we wouldn't have successfully made it to the moon? What the fuck is that like?
I don't know. It's
It's not... Toxic masculinity and opposing it is not the same as opposing masculinity. If you say...
Whatever that even
you want to be a man and be a masculine man, and that involves bullying and sexual assault, then you're a shitty man. And it's not because you're a man. You're just shitty.
The commercial says we believe in the best of men or whatever. Like... It's not denying masculinity. It's
As
not
somebody said, the commercial makes it fairly clear that they think a lot of men are doing it
Yeah, doing just fine.
Which actually, I would argue that case.
Well, but also, they showed guys doing the things that they want guys to do, and it didn't look completely foreign or alien. Yeah. It's like, I've seen guys do that.
No, the people who are wanting to matter are associating this as part of a larger worldview that they consider opposing their traditional value or whatever.
Which is ironic because
there are plenty of people who think you don't have to be masculine even if you're male. I'm one of them.
Right.
Fuck off.
But it's ironic because one thing you hear from these very people all the time is about how we need more masculinity, particularly of the type where you're protecting people and you're looking out for people and whatever else, which is exactly what the commercial showed.
Yeah.
It showed a man sticking up for a kid that was getting beat up. It showed a man sticking up for the honor of a woman walking by who was about to be harassed. All of the things that they say men should do, the men in this commercial were doing, and the commercial said a lot of men are already doing this.
Yes.
So they're complaining about the very things they think men should be doing. It's just so dumb.
I love somebody specifically called out that scene that they didn't want that. And part of their argument was... that they just view as hitting on women, you know, the whole, it's natural, we want it. This is how you can end it, which, fuck that. But what I love is their way of phrasing was, oh, no, Gillette, I don't need a black man to stop me from trying to compliment. And I was like, why the fuck do we have to bring that up?
What? Oh, my God.
Why is that? What?
Well,
I mean, full disclosure, if you haven't seen it yet, the man in question was black.
Yeah.
Him
and the guy he
black
was, and the guy
had
he was
nothing to do with anything.
The guy he was stopping was white.
Was white,
but that I don't think that had anything to do with anything. But one commentator, right wing commentator, said something about that. You know, walking up to a woman and asking for her number or whatever isn't toxic masculinity. It's like, well, it depends on the context,
yes.
Dude. I mean, if it's on the street, this is the whole world is not your singles bar.
Also, I'm pretty sure in the commercial he's fucking catcalling.
Yeah, I think something
which is,
like that. But but it totally mischaracterized the context of what was going on. So what's happening is it's the typical thing. You've got people on the right are perceiving that the people who made this commercial have left-wing sensibilities, so they have to be against it.
Yeah.
So they're not even going to pay attention to anything in it that they might actually agree with.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But I guess that's the stupid world we live in now. I don't know.
I may have to stop buying the knockoff Gillettes and start buying Gillettes again.
I mean, I use Gillettes and have...
I have, but they...
Like my whole life,
my store brand recently came up with replacement ones that technically fit in there.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, it's cheaper. I might have to go back to the other one. So.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them... I certainly don't want them punished for this. That seems ridiculous.
I mean, I don't... See, I'm not... I don't think... For example, there are some people who think...
Well,
that,
I know that Nike has made... bank over the Colin Kaepernick.
Sure. But so. I think there are people who think, for example, that the big internet backlash against the Star Wars franchise is what caused Solo not to work out. And I just don't think that's true. There are lots of reasons why Solo didn't work out. It has nothing to do with a bunch of crybabies who don't think the Star Wars franchise is going their way.
And that will be quite evident when Episode 9 comes out and makes all the goddamn money.
Seems like it. So I look at this and I think, this... there's no way this is going to hurt Gillette because this is that same group of crybabies and they really don't have that much pull in society as much as they like to think they do.
I don't know. This seems like a broader thing.
Well, again, I do acknowledge it's not just the internet. It's some of these right-wing politicians and things too. And that does make it
a bigger
thing.
The Star Wars thing was like a very small group of people who were particularly, of the people that are really obsessed with Star Wars. It was a very small group of
sure.
them. This is, of the people that live in this country or follow things in this country, a decent chunk. Basically, this is Trump supporters.
Well,
and that sadly is a pretty decent sized number.
Pretty small. I think a better comparison would be Fox News didn't cover the Star Wars backlash, but they're probably covering the Gillette backlash.
There we go. Okay.
That's probably a better, because there are a lot of people who are fans of Fox News who are not Trump supporters. They're conservative. They're Republican. They didn't vote for Trump. They don't like Trump, but they still watch Fox News and believe everything that it says.
That would be tricky, because a lot of what Fox News says is very pro-Trump. Not in very recent days, but prior to that.
That doesn't matter.
So
that doesn't matter. People, I don't know where Rush Limbaugh stands with Trump, but people,
nobody's heard from Rush Limbaugh in a while.
People who didn't like, who don't like Trump and didn't vote for him, still listen to Rush Limbaugh and believe most of the things he says. Now, once in a while, they'll call in or they'll put a comment on there if they think he's being too pro-Trump, but they won't stop listening to him and they won't stop believing most of the things he says. So,
I feel like you know these specific people.
I do know some of them.
You like them, and that's why you're trying to be good. Fuck those people.
No.
All those people.
That's not my point. I'm not trying to defend anybody I like. I'm just saying,
I don't play those games anymore. I've turned into a leftist radical asshole.
I get a lot of feedback from both sides of this thing, and I see there's some fragmentation on the left, there's some fragmentation on the right, and I just notice these things. I'm not trying to defend
anybody.
I'm just making an observation.
Ms. Octavio Cortez.
Octavio?
Isn't that her?
No.
Something off.
It's not Octavia.
Ortiz?
Ocasio.
See, I just want to say AOC because I always get her name wrong. And apologies. That is on me. I need to get better at it. I'm trying, but I know Cortez is the last one. Anyway, Mother of Dragon, as the Root calls her today, got to have her first speech as a member of Congress and ripped the president a new one in very good and straightforward and accurate terms, and kicked ass. I try not to believe the hype, but I'm a little in love with her at this point. She's kicking some fucking ass.
So are you in favor of the whole Green New Deal thing?
I don't know the details, but on the surface, yes.
I mean, if it's the same as
I'm pretty heavily socialist, and I'm pretty heavily anti-climate change.
If it's the same as the Green Party Green New Deal, then I am familiar with some of it.
I'm not at all with that, so... so we'll have to see, but she is saying things that are true that people in Congress have not been saying, and she's not backing down from anything, and I like that. We'll see. We're over time. I'm sick of your face. I gotta pack and shit some more, so. If you'd like a transcript of this episode, you're weird. But go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. And tell us why you still watch Fox News, even though you don't like Trump. And also, are you related to William? And tell us why you think Ellen DeGeneres is so darn relatable. Also, what should I do at Disney? I mean, by the time I read it, I'll probably be back already. But if you put something cool that I didn't do, I'll know I missed out. And I'll be like, oh, I should have listened to them.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.